September 24th, 2008. Today continues our series from yesterday, my conversation with Jason Bent concerning KJ Nunes and Elite XC and the whole lightweight title situation. So here's part two of this three-part audio here for your listening pleasure right now.
When you go later in that fight and his reasonings for wanting the Alvarez fight, this is another part where, yeah, he makes sense, but his logic doesn't work in the MMA world. Quote KJ, I am right when I say Diaz is not the number one contender. Elite XC is trying to force this fight for their ratings. Alvarez is the number one contender, and anyone with half a brain knows that a fight with Eddie is a way harder fight for me than Diaz. I will fight Diaz, but Elite has to be fair. I'm not ducking him. Why the hell would I be scared of someone I already beat? He's talking about number one contenders and Elite XC trying to force this fight for their ratings. Yeah, that's what the business is about. This is a business. First and foremost, this is a business. Brock Lesnar is not the number one contender for the UFC heavyweight title, and he's getting a title shot because it's a huge fight. It's going to be massive for pay-per-view numbers. It's going to be massive for ratings. They're going to have a gigantic three-show preview leading up to this fight that will make it even bigger than it already is. And nowhere in there is anyone saying, well, you're getting it somewhat, but no one's really complaining about Brock Lesnar getting this fight. No one is taking it as anything other than it's going to be a cash cow. And plain and simple, if Brock wins, it's massive for Brock. But if he loses, he was supposed to lose, almost. So that's the nature of the business. And plain and simple, KJ has to realize Nick Diaz, KJ Nunes is a much bigger fight for CBS than Eddie Alvarez, KJ Nunes. And that's one of the things that he's not understanding when this is. And plain and simple, I'm sorry, but when you're in a company, you don't pick the number one contender. You just don't. Unless you're a top guy and you don't want to fight a friend. You're not going to see Anderson Silva fight Lyoto Machida at 205. You're not going to see some of these teammates face each other, but that's different in that situation. And you're not going to see some of these high profile guys fight someone that they really don't want to. KJ is not anywhere near that. And he just, that's the one thing that he really just doesn't get when he complains about Elite XC wanting to force the fight for their ratings. Of course they do. If they don't want to put fights on for their ratings, they're not going to be a company very much longer.
Exactly. The whole reason they're having Ken Shamrock against Kimbo Slice is to spike the ratings. I mean, it's a circus on October 4th with Shamrock and Slice, and the Nunes-Diaz matchup could have provided instant credibility to this card among MMA fans. The casual fan will tune in to watch Shamrock, who they saw, 15 years ago in the UFC. But the hardcore MMA fans will know that, you know what, there's also a legitimate fight on here that I want to see. Nunes versus Diaz is a good fight, plenty of bad blood, let's go. And it really would have been a fight that had a chance to be Lawler-Smith on this show. It could have stole the show, and it could have actually got people talking about Elite XC on Monday that wouldn't have talked about it before. People would have tuned in for Shamrock and then may have been amazed by Nick Diaz or KJ, and Elite comes out the winner, and the winner of that fight comes out the winner because maybe somebody will care to see him fight again. And you can't pick and choose who you're going to fight. This isn't boxing. I mean, I guess he's got a boxing mentality in that way where you've got, alphabet soup titles where you've got five different number one contenders, and you can pick one, you can step aside another, you can drop a belt, you can go with a mandatory. It's not the way it works here. You've got the company that's going to dictate who you're going to fight based on how they determine who should be in that matchup with you. And if you can argue that Nick isn't the number one contender, that's fine, but he clearly is the number one fight for KJ, and that fight is clearly the priority fight at lightweight, which becomes the priority on the October 4th card. and it could have really legitimized that card and given a shine to everybody. And in this case, it doesn't, and it just looks embarrassing.
Well, and of course, now you take a look at that card. Of course, I'll be sitting and watching it on October 4th. I'll have live coverage up on MMATorch.com. But you sit and look at what UFC is putting up. They're putting up for free UFC 86, Jackson versus Griffin, barely 2.5 months old. It'll be 3 months old by that point, by the time it airs. So people that maybe did not see that fight on pay-per-view, which many are heralding as the fight of the year, it was definitely up there. Plus the undercard that was on that one, set up against this Elite XC card, headlined by Kimbo Slice and Ken Shamrock, without a KJ Nunes, Nick Diaz fight to back up the card. And it really does not bode well for the ratings for this third CBS special for Elite XC.
No, I mean, this Elite XC card shouldn't be on CBS. It should be on YouTube. It should be on YouTube right next to the Kimbo-Sean Gannon fight. Especially when you take into consideration a lot of people that didn't see UFC 86 with Griffin Jackson and maybe didn't watch it all, but Quentin Jackson's been all over the news with his little incident, so maybe people are going to want to watch the fight that supposedly drove him over the edge, maybe led to this. Obviously, it's fight of the year among MMA fans. It's definitely a dagger that's been thrown that Elite XC can't duck. They can't duck away from. Everybody knows Kimbo and Ken is not a legitimate main event anywhere. It's a sideshow. It's a circus. You know, they might as well come out with clowns and hop out of the car and shoot each other with soda water before this fight. It's a joke. I'm going to be watching it, but there's a lot of people that won't watch it, and they'd rather watch something that's good. Maybe it's already happened, but you'd kind of rather watch a Super Bowl from a couple years ago then you'd want to watch a preseason game involving the Houston Texans and the Arizona Cardinals. That's what it comes down to. And people are going to be checking out the UFC card, even those that already watched it. And you know what? Maybe they'll flip the remote over and take a peek at Elite. But nothing's going to make anybody stay beyond a lingering glance. And this Nunes-Diaz fight could have been a fight that would have made people like us actually watch that card. And it could have kept other people tuned in, and that's not going to happen now.
That's a very good Super Bowl preseason game comparison you made there. And back to KJ here for a second. Now he's in a situation where not only is he not fighting Nick Diaz to defend this belt of his, Nick Diaz is probably going to get an opponent for the vacant lightweight title that may not be near the competition KJ may have been to him. Hell, Elite XC may throw him a gimme opponent and put the title on him just to spite KJ. That could happen. I wouldn't put it past them. They are a fourth-rate promotion. But still, KJ, you know, he stuck to his guns and he refused this fight. But where does he go from here? What does KJ Nunes have left other than going and trying to make a name for himself in the dying art that is boxing right now, because he's not doing himself any favors in the MMA world. And I mean, maybe he gets out of his Elite XC contract. Maybe they sever ties. Maybe he goes to a different organization. Right now, he's not going to be looked at as someone that that other organizations want to do business with, because he thinks he's above management. He thinks he's above the fold. He thinks he deserves special treatment over other fighters that are more tenured, higher named. He thinks he deserves more money than those. And you know what? The champion should get some money for being the champion. They should get a fair wage compared to their opponents. But still, name drives this business more so than championships. That's why Chuck Liddell, in a fight that he lost, that he wasn't even contending for a belt in, to Rashad Evans, got $500,000 for that loss. That's why Tim Sylvia got $800,000 to get his ass pounced by Fedor in Affliction. These guys have names. These guys sell tickets. I wouldn't go to that extreme with Tim Sylvia, but Chuck Liddell sells tickets. Rashad Evans didn't sell that pay-per-view. Chuck Liddell did. Everyone knew it, and that's why he was paid accordingly. You don't see Rashad Evans complaining for his payout, which was significantly less when he knocked out Chuck Liddell. He knows his payday is going to come later. And KJ Nunes failed to realize that by taking this fight and not being as stubborn as he was, he would have opened the doors to bigger money and bigger paydays and more respect.
Yeah, I mean, you look at a fighter like Anderson Silva. If he would decide to back away from MMA and go into boxing, and, you know, there was talk about a Roy Jones Jr. fight, suddenly you've got credibility. You've got the UFC champion stepping into boxing. The Elite FC belt, it doesn't matter. You know, KJ's not going to get a fight with Vernon Forrest. He's not going to suddenly walk into and say, okay, I'll fight Sergio Mora, I'll fight Vernon Forrest. That isn't going to happen at all. As far as Elite, they've always wanted to have this belt on Nick Diaz, and they might as well just pop Thomas Denny back in there, or even find Reginald Denny and throw him in there and let Nick beat him up for a little while and get the belt and just have the belt on him. But the thing is, KJ, he's not giving himself a chance. And you have to work now for the low pay so that you can prove your worth to get paid later. And it's not so much based on what you can do, but it's what you show you can do, which is exactly what Rashad did against Chuck Liddell. Going into that fight, it was a Chuck Liddell pay-per-view in much the same way that boxing pay-per-views used to be. Are you going to watch the Tyson fight? Nobody ever mentioned his opponent. It was, are you going to watch the Tyson fight? And that's what this fight was with Chuck Liddell. You could say Rashad Evans, people are going to shrug, but you say, hey, you get in the UFC with the Chuck Liddell fight? Yeah, people are going to tune into that. And then if Chuck Liddell gets beat like he did, maybe in another fight or two, Rashad Evans can move himself up into a position where people want to see him and people are going to pay to see him. And that's the same thing here, where you've got to work today and show you can do it in order to get paid tomorrow. Even if you're fully capable of doing it, until you've shown it, nobody's going to pay you for it. Not in this sport, not in MMA. It's what have you done for me lately? What have you done today? Not what you can do tomorrow, because you know what? There's a million guys that can do it tomorrow. I mean, we got the cast of Tough right now. Perhaps one of those guys is going to be the next Anderson Silva, like Dana White says. But you can bet that he's not going to be paid like Anderson Silva tomorrow. He's the Anderson Silva of the future, and he may work up to that point. And that is where KJ has cost himself this, as far as future compensation and respect and the ability to get compensated later. The venues for him do not exist in boxing. He needed to make his name here in order to provide a bit more credibility to him as a draw. And he doesn't sell tickets. I mean, maybe you could have him fight a spot show in Hawaii, but that's about it. He's not a draw, which is, like you said, with Tim Sylvia. Sylvia's not a draw, but he earned his pay for that fight, not for his performance, but because of his resume. He had the job in UFC. He's a former UFC heavyweight champion. And that's why a guy like Rico Rodriguez could still get paid. It's what you've done yesterday, and KJ Nunes has killed this opportunity to prove that he's capable of doing that for more pay by demanding more now.
Once again, that was Jason Bent finishing up his thought there. Check back tomorrow for the conclusion of this three-part audio on KJ Nunes and the Elite XC saga. Thank you for listening once again. This is Jamie Pennick signing off.